Well, it is the beginning of a new year, and you know, we mark time in seconds and minutes and hours and days, weeks, months, and years. But the Bible says, from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. And so this is a time in pretty much in our Western world where the new year is marked, and people make resolutions, and you know, most of us have been guilty of that at one time or the other. You know what a New Year's resolution is? It's something that goes in one year and out the other. But we do consider it a time to reflect and think about the past and prepare for the future. I had a moment like that when our family was over for Christmas. We had our four children, nine grandchildren, and it was a circus, and we were having a great time. One of my little grandkids ran up to me, grandsons, I won't name his name to spare him for his great discernment. But he ran up to me and hit me like this and said, "You got a baby in your tummy." So I felt the power of conviction sweep over me. So like maybe a few others, I hope to do something about that this coming year. I know that prophetically, the year that we're in can mean a lot of things, and there's a lot of powerful words, and we want to pray into those and honor those. But I feel like for our house, this year is going to be a year of apostolic expansion. Forget the cartoon. A year of apostolic expansion. And this message this morning, in as simple a terms as I can, I want to present this to you. That I believe it's a time when some things are going to come into place. And the result of that being that all of us are more in alignment, more in sync with what God is calling us to do, has mandated us to do, and I believe is more than willing to prepare, enable us, and equip us to do. And I don't mean to use terms that may be unfamiliar to some, but the word apostle in the New Testament is a very strong word. Jesus chose to call those original 12 men that walked with him those 3 years his apostles. Apostolos is a Greek word that can have various meanings, but it really was one borrowed from the Roman culture. The apostle, particularly pertaining to the Roman legions and armies, when they would storm other nations with their boats, their ships, they would pull them up on shore. Well, the person at the front of the boat, giving the orders, forerunning, if you will, the first one to touch the soil, he would be called the apostle. In some sense, he was seeing what those behind him could not see. He was given direction so that ship would end up where it needed to be, and those troops would be deployed in the fashion they should be deployed. Even our values here at Grace House that I've repeated many times the last year or so, go along with this. When people join us here, we want them to encounter God's presence. We want them to be equipped by God's Word. We want them to be empowered by God's Spirit. We want them to connect with God's people. We want them to be mobilized around God's purposes and deployed into God's plans. That's kind of our blueprint, if you will. I believe that each of those have some strong foundational scriptures to support them. But having the apostolic foundation goes far beyond that. It goes back to the very beginning of the church. The church is founded on the apostles and the prophets. That's mentioned more than one time. It's very clear in Scripture. And we're going to cover several things today. I'll probably need to bump up into third gear and move through this fairly quickly. But I do hope that deposits are made in our heart and we get clarity about where we're headed and more of what it's going to look like, because it involves each and every one of us. I want to begin by declaring to you a scripture out of the book of Romans, and I'll get to this in just a moment that you see on the screen. But the scripture's just burning in me this morning, where Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek." Early in that letter, Paul, if you read the first chapter of the book of Romans, he had such a yearning to go to Rome. He was headed there, and God was showing him all along the way, you're going to be met with hard times when you go to Rome. And he even declared, "I'm willing to die." And basically, he did as a result. Paul declared to them, he had heard about their faith, though he had not been there. Isn't that amazing? The gospel had already made its way into Rome, into the halls of power. And he said, "I'm not ashamed. I've heard about your faith, but I want you to know, neither am I ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation." And the church in today's world, in our modern world, it sometimes views the teachings of Scripture, even the term doctrine, is viewed to be antiquated. But we must never remove ourselves from the basic, core, central truth of Christianity. It is wrapped around, it is centered upon Christ, and the message of it is called the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, to save, to heal, to deliver, to restore. Ultimately, and really only through that can a person, through the gospel, can a person know those things. There's a power that we possess as the body of Christ that's beyond human powers. Paul made this declaration in the day of the Roman emperors and the terror that would be struck in the hearts of the non-Roman peoples when those soldiers would storm the beaches. But I want to declare to you this morning that the message that we have, the gospel that we preach, the Lord whom we serve, that we have access to a power that's beyond any power that could ever be found. It can't. There's a power beyond the White House. There's a power beyond the Kremlin. There's a power beyond Wall Street. There's a power beyond the state. There's a power beyond the nations. There's a power beyond Windsor Castle. There's a power beyond human beings. Jesus looked at Pontius Pilate and said, "There's no authority or power that could be given you except it be given from above." Church, we have the solution for the ills and problems of this world. It was announced, as we saw last week, at the birth of Christ. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. How does that come? Through Jesus, a Savior. He's been born. He came. He lived a perfect life. He died, was buried, was gloriously resurrected. He appeared for 40 days. Then He ascended at the right hand of God the Father. And He will return in second coming glory. But the gospel that we've been entrusted with, it's the power of God unto salvation. Every human heart aches for what you and I sometimes take for granted. And Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And the world wants to hush the voice of the church. The world wants to turn away from the power of the gospel. And I want to wrap my thoughts around four words this morning. When we're talking about apostolic foundation, it involves these four areas specifically. More could be added, certainly, but these are four basic. This is the meat and potatoes. The first one's around the word going. In Matthew chapter 28, prior to the ascension, right before the ascension, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, this is verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So who's in charge? Then he looks at his disciples, having said, "I've been given the authority, now you go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. All the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't gone down into a watery grave in confessing Christ who was buried and brought up out of those waters testifying to His resurrection, you need to be, dear friend. It's some of the last instructions of Jesus to the church. And He says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's all things, not just some things. You can't leave out the supernatural. You can't leave out the healing. You can't leave out the dealing with demons. You can't leave out the acceptable year of the Lord, the restoration of all things. You can't leave that out. You teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. His presence is promised to be with us as we go forth doing what He called us to do and mandated us to do. So this going is very important. I love the way Luke records it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but you, this is right before He ascends, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Some translations can accurately translate this. And you shall be my witnesses. You're going to represent me in this world. And I'm going to give you the power to do it. We can't say we're not witnessing because of power failure. We have the promise of power when we witness. And you know, usually when that shows up, when you're witnessing. It's just like a light. When does it burn? When you flip the switch. You shall be witnesses to me. Now, this is important. Notice, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to all, and to the end of the earth, or as Mark says, preach the gospel to every creature. As Matthew said, to all nations. This is the apostolic mandate. And it's very important that we understand it. So this going, I wanted to share with you this morning that there is a structure and strategy to this, this concentric moving out from where we are headquarters. So as a particular specific message to Grace House this morning, Jesus promises us power of His Spirit to become influencers here in Florence, in our region, throughout our region. To have an influence in the state of Alabama. To have an influence from sea to shining sea in our nation. And even beyond that, to the nations. No church is exempt from this mandate. The church is under this mandate. So what does that look like? We're going to begin to put in place here at Grace House. This is part of 2023 to get this up. Moving, fully functioning. That on a monthly basis, we want to be able to say, and listen, Jesus here, He's giving them a blueprint. It's going to begin here where you are. The Holy Spirit's going to come. But then He's going to begin to move on some of you to go out. Remember how Philip went up into Samaria? How Peter was sent to Cornelius? How God dealt with Paul and the group there at Antioch that began to penetrate the nations. He was giving them the blueprint. Their blueprint is our blueprint. Their Jerusalem is our Florence. But the nations are still the same. And by the way, there's 197 nations currently. There are 193 that are sanctioned by the United Nations. There are two observing nations that are recognized by the United Nations. And there's two nations that are not recognized. But you're looking at almost 200 nations around the world. And yet, statistically, we're told that over a billion people, about 1.5 billion people, have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, Jesus said, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached to all nations, then the end will come. That's the reason my heart was so moved a couple of years ago when I was having coffee with Josiah McIntyre. He and his precious family who lived down in the Amazon jungles. Get on a boat, go back into the jungles, then walk till they find the village, build a house there, raising up disciples there, teaching those kids there. And it's hard. It's grueling. They've spent all their family tree's whole history has spent away from the knowledge of Jesus, but they're a light in a dark place trying to raise up a new generation. And it's amazing how God is using them. There are still unreached people. Sunday by Sunday, we get taught God's Word. And some people have lived their whole life and have never heard about Jesus. We want to be a congregation that's making a difference here all the way to the nations. So we want this strategy I see it as a monthly thing where we're checking in, where we're having teams that are strategically on assignment, carrying out prophetic assignments, prayer assignments in our city and in our region. I believe the Spirit of God is going to give us direction on what this looks like. The Lord will give us assignments for the state, and we want to come alongside some of the powerful things that are happening in the state. I know Brother James is here with us today, and he's involved in monthly meetings all in Alabama. Wouldn't it be great if we could have a team that would go to each of those and be there to participate in that? And then on mission trips, I believe there's people sitting under the sound of my voice that you'll go on your first mission trip this year. Some of you who have been will go to other nations. We want to see an increase, not any decrease, only increase in all of these areas. And there's a strategy to this that I feel like the Lord has given clarity on, because we are to be stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are holding it in trust, and we've been called to dispense it to the nations, beginning where we are. That's our call. Our call. So we are to go with the gospel first of all. That's so very, very important. Now I must move on. Let me talk about sowing. And there's I wanted you to see that local, regional, state, the nation, and internationally. We're going to focus on those. I know one thing that I've been doing at home that has just really helped me to stay connected to the nations is I found some of these sites that have world cams in different cities of different nations around the world, and it just rotates like every 30 seconds or a minute. I'll flip that on, put me on some worship music, and when that nation comes up, I'll begin praying. And it's live cameras. You can see people walking up and down the street. I'll start praying for those people walking up and down the streets in Ireland, or there they are in Brussels, or here they are in Africa, and connecting your heart with when you see people in these places and begin to pray into those. And I've got some ideas how we can begin to meet around things like that to seed our own hearts with a passion for the nations. Every time you see a person, you're looking at someone for whom Christ died. A soul that Jesus came to save. A life that Satan wants to destroy, but God wants to restore. So we need His heart for people. His heart for nations. The enemy's constantly working to turn our hearts against people. To have enmity toward other people. But God is love. And He wants to awaken the heart of the church for those, particularly those who need Him most. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lost people will usually act like lost people. People that don't care about Jesus will usually act like they don't care about Jesus. But how can they hear except someone preach? And our role is to send the preachers, to equip them, and to be the preachers. Let me talk not only about going, but about sowing. I'm loving this study on Thursdays in our community Bible studies as we're going through and looking at the supernatural activity of God's Spirit in the book of Acts. I did not plan originally, but when we got into the last part of Acts chapter 2, we spent several weeks just looking at a snapshot of what the culture of the early church looked like. And a part of it, a strong part of it, was their how they sowed, how they gave their lives. And so I want to talk about sowing for a moment. Here's the scripture, Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? You know what that means? Teaching. Apostles' teaching. You see, they had always had the law and Moses and the prophets. That's important. And that's still there. But now Jesus moved upon those original apostles and there's on them, like Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. When Peter got the revelation, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on that. And so, after Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. Through those apostles and a few others, that revelatory anointing came so that what they were given, listen, it was on level with the law and the prophets. It became scripture. Now, you and I can hear the voice of the Lord. I believe God talks to us. Amen? He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He can speak to you. But I don't think he'll ever speak to me where I can say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Eddie. Because they who walked with Jesus, they were given a revelatory anointing that put what they said on level with the law and the prophets. That's the reason the scripture says, and they continued now in the apostles' teaching. There was a revelation that went beyond any revelation that had been given. The New Testament in the Old Testament concealed, the Old Testament in the New Testament revealed. Paul said, those were the shadows, but now we have the substance. Apostolic doctrine, apostolic teaching. That revelation was given to them. And look, the early church continued steadfastly in that. They held on to that. They were anchored in that. And in no way was the old and new contrary to one another. The one fulfilled the other. And we need to realize that. And it said, they continued in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. That's a snapshot of the culture of the early church. And Romans 1:9, look at Paul's apostolic heart. For God is my witness, whom I serve with all my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. I'd like to stop and just preach on that a minute, but I don't have time. Notice, he really wanted to do something if he could do it in the will of God. There's a lesson in that, folks. A lot of things are good things that we really want to do, but if we can't do them in the will of God, we best not do them. He says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Notice that. The impartation of spiritual gifts, so that you may be established. This is wonderful, the things that are being sown here. And these scriptures that we're looking at. First, he talks about the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we've already covered that, but that is something that we sow. We sow the seed of the gospel. I got to mark something off my bucket list Thursday night. I've always wanted to go to an NFL game. I like football. And I always wanted to go. I thought, well, if I ever go, it'll have to be on Thursday night because they play on Sundays. And I got to go to see the Titans lose to the Cowboys. So when we were walking over the bridge there in Nashville to Nissan Stadium where the game was held, I mean, it was like ants coming out of an anthill. There were just people everywhere, shoulder to shoulder. But in the middle of that bridge, there was a man, had a big handful of tracks, passing these out as fast as he could. And I took him, I said, thank you so much. I didn't say too much because I wanted to see what it said before I could, you know, fully amen it. You never know. But it didn't take me but a moment to realize this man's telling people about Jesus. Wonderful gospel tract. Stop and think, where will I spend eternity? And then just share Scripture. There he is. And you know what? A lot of people was just turning their heads. They wouldn't take it. Some would take it. But as I walked past him, it started about 6 feet from him. You could just see them all over the road where people just take it and throw it down. That's what some people think about the gospel. As the world's going one way, he was trying to say there's a better way. And I'm not saying anything wrong with the football game. I enjoyed it. But I'm just saying he's talking about their walk of life. He valued sowing the seed of the gospel. All of us could leave a track somewhere. All of us could do that. We need to become more intentional of sowing the gospel. If you don't mind, I'll just take my heel and grind on your toe a little bit. When's the last time you shared the good news of Jesus with someone? When's the last time you've had the great joy of hearing someone confess Christ and ask Him to become Lord of their life or acknowledge His Lordship in their life? I just read it. We're all under that mandate. None of us are exempt. We can't say, well, that's the preacher's job, that's the elder's job, that's the staff's job, that's the evangelist's job. We are all, He said, and you shall be my witnesses. Every single one of us were under the mandate to share what Christ has done for us. But it should be an easy thing if we really value it as we should. Yes, the world's going one way, and yes, I've had people spit at me. I've had people curse me. I've even had police serve me arrest papers for preaching the gospel. But what is that compared to what He's done for us? May 2023 be a year where we take our place of sowing the seed of the gospel. And by the way, this was given out by a Baptist church. I thank God for my Baptist roots. When I went to seminary, we couldn't get our grades unless we witnessed to two people every week. You mean you were mandated? Yeah, the school required it. But I finally came to the place, you know, at first like, well, that's kind of, what's that got to do with our grades? You know, I do the work, why should I get credit? But then I came to realize that, well, they mandated it, but that wasn't near as important as what He's mandated. Sowing the gospel. Also, we need to be sowing our prayers. Our prayers. The early church, when they were in tough spots, they got together and prayed. They were, it said day in, they were meeting house to house, they were praying. We need to be a people of prayer. The power of prayer, if you just do a study in Scripture of how God hears and answers prayer, the first step we should take at any sign of trouble, any occurring need, anything where we need wisdom, we need to be on our knees and praying. And we need to be praying, period. Not just foxhole praying, but a people of prayer. And so that's, we want to have prayer groups, and we do. We've got a group that's been faithful for all 15, we're going on 15 years. This will be our 15th year at Grace House. And I know Charlotte Matthews has faithfully met weekly with a group for 15 years. And I commend you, Charlotte, for that. I don't know if you're here today or not, but God bless you, sister. And God has been so faithful. We have others that meet and pray. But we need to have our own prayer closets too. Because when He hears in secret, He rewards openly. Things will happen in your life if you pray that simply will not happen if you do not. And I'm the first one to say, I believe a lot of the blessings that have come into my life are the result of other people's prayers. But there's some things that will never come if I'm not praying. And I believe that's true for all of us. It's so very, very important. We see prayer. And we'll be launching in the next several weeks our prophetic prayer teams this is going to be more of a specific group of like three people who will meet for 15 minutes with you or your spouse or even your family and have 15 minutes of targeted prayer over you. And they'll know a week ahead of time that they're going to be meeting with you and they'll be going before the Lord. And it'll just be for 15 minutes because somebody else will need ministry. But we're going to be setting it up. Our healing rooms, we're right on the verge of starting our healing rooms. And that's going to probably be on a Saturday morning, like at 9:30 for a couple of hours. We'll have healing teams here at least one Saturday morning a month. We'll put that on the radio like we used to do our Sunday night healing meetings. We're going to advertise it for the world to come, for others to come, where they can come and have a place that in the name of Jesus, hands will be laid on them and they'll be receive prayers for healing. We do that in all of our services, but we want to open the doors and say, come to our area and our region. And beyond that, if people feel so led. I got to move on here. I want to encourage you also to make this a year of increasing sowing in your finances. This coming Friday, and you saw that here in Acts 2, how they, in Acts 5, who had land sold them, and they bring them, lay them at the apostles' feet. Sacrificial giving, generous giving. I believe in the tithe. I'm not under the law of the tithe in the sense of Mosaic law. I believe in tithe principled by Abraham with Melchizedek. Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Abraham, the father of faith, gave tithes to him. I believe the principle of the tithe was established before it was ever incorporated into the Mosaic law. But even the Mosaic law shows us God's heart. This is a way for things to be financed. You trust me, if you'll give me a tenth, look at what I'll do with the 90%. God will do more with that 10% if you'll give it to him than you can do with 100% on your own. I guarantee you that. This coming Friday, Nikki and I will have been married 45 years. And she doesn't even look that old. And from the day we were married, we have been faithful tithers. I thank God that I grew up being taught this. And I'm telling you, you're missing out on blessing in your life if you're not tithing. I believe in tithing and giving above the tithe. And I think you should tithe where you're fed, where you're a part of. You know, this new building, they actually charged us for it. But we want to be a generous, you are a generous congregation. Listen, we are so grateful for your faithfulness. I mean, we don't pass the plates by and large. You know, we love that. But yet, there are those that don't give. But I wanted you to know that I tithe. Mickey tithe. I don't think you would want spiritual leaders who aren't tithing. Would you? To be the apostolic center of training, touching the nations. Yeah, it's going to take a lot of finances. We want to pay this building off. Then we need another couple of $1 million to start on the Institute of Creativity. And we're going to need people to staff all of that. We're needing to add staff even to go to the next level before that. And we're growing. God has blessed us. We've grown since we've been in the new building. We're grateful for that. I don't ever want to come across like I'm twisting your arm to give. But as your pastor, I want to say to you, you're missing it if you're not giving, if you're not sowing. You know, you're not properly stewarding the blessing of God on your life. You're being selfish with it. We've been called to steward the gospel, but also to steward the blessings that Lord brings in our life. And one way we do that is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. So I encourage you to make this a year when you take a step forward in that regard. And then I've got to add this one. The early church sowed their lives. Isn't it something that we're now almost 2,000 years removed from the death of Jesus on the cross? And how that gospel is still changing lives? How it's been stewarded through the ages? Not perfectly at any point. But God watches over that gospel. He's looking for people who will faithfully steward the gospel. Even to the point of yielding and giving their lives. The early church preached the gospel. They anchored themselves in the apostles' teaching. They fertilized what they were doing with their own blood. The blood of the martyrs. They were fed to lions. Paul, who said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," had a sword fall across his neck that severed his head from his shoulders. The man that wrote so much of the New Testament, so dear to our hearts, Peter, crucified upside down. All of them died as martyrs, save John. But he endured being boiled and exiled on Patmos, persecuted. We stand on their shoulders. Their blood fertilized, if you will, the kingdom growth. As someone has said about starfish, you can cut a starfish up and throw it in the ocean, it just grows and regenerates itself. And in that sense, the church today stands on the blood of the martyrs shed in ages past. Revelation 5 gives us a peephole into a scene in heaven. How long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood? And there's coming a day. Listen, there's coming a day. And we need to hear this ringing loud in our hearts and in our hearing this morning. There is coming a day when that seventh trumpet in Revelation 11 will be sounded, that will sound forth the pouring out of the seven bowls of the wrath of God. And as John sees the future, he sees this unfolding. And then he hears, before this begins, the seventh trumpet sounds. He hears this echoed from the chamber rooms of the throne of God. The kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. The early church gave of their lives. If He died for us, shall we not then live for Him? Third and last thing I want to talk about a few moments. Not only going, we want to be sending people out. Not only sowing, we want to be giving of ourselves to a greater degree in these areas. But we want to grow. Some of this has to do with doing. Some of this now has to do with being. Our own personal growth. The growth of this fellowship. The growth of the vision that God has given us. And I pray that each and every one will be a part. When we realize what other people have laid down and given up so that we can freely meet here this morning, carry a Bible in our pocket, on our phones, or under our arms, however you may read it today, that freedom to have been liberated by the gospel and be free to share its truth, how blessed we are. I remember Mickey and I, we were on a mission trip to southern Mexico close to the Guatemalan border. We had gone through San Cristobal, way up into the mountains, very, very rural area, and there was a church there. And there were some who were missing arms. And the pastor informed me that there were members of his congregation 10 years earlier that some marauders came through that were terrorizing Christians. They came through with their machetes and they killed a number of people. Others, they would lop off a limb because they were Christians. Now you want to think about feeling about that big when you're standing up being the one who's ministering to people who've lost a limb for Christ, who've lost a loved one for Christ. It kind of shocks you, awakens you, the price that's been paid. In Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You and I can't save anybody. That's the reason Jesus is called the Savior. But notice His faithfulness. He said, I'll be with you to the end of the age. Acts 5:14, and believers, this was after the passage where two people fall dead in church, Ananias and Sapphira. They lied about their giving. They fell dead in church. And they could have given what they wanted to. That wasn't a problem. It's just they were lying about it. And they fell dead in church. And it said fear came upon all of them and no one dared join to them. In other words, the community, like they were just kind of like this about the Christians. But also in addition, he said, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Isn't that something? The move of God caused some people to do this. And it caused some people to do this. That's the power of the gospel. But both would have to agree, this is something beyond me, beyond us happening. And there needs to be an increased measure of the fear of the Lord among God's people. We're grace folks here. But we should never allow the goodness of God's grace to separate us from the awareness of His holiness. The Bible teaches that it is His grace that enables us to live godly lives. And they were added increasingly. Multitudes of both men and women. Isn't it interesting? And this is another matter for another time other than just to whet your appetite. Isn't it interesting how often in the New Testament women now are mentioned? Because Christ accomplished something at the cross that is directly related to the restoration of the voice of women. And He added both men and women to the church in increasing numbers. Growing. If you were honest in this moment, I mean, just some evaluation here. 1 year ago today, compared to who you are right now, have you grown spiritually? Do you feel like you are in the best place with the Lord that you've ever been? Have you grown? Are you growing? Because growth is a part of properly positioning our heart under the preaching and teaching of the Word, properly positioning our heart to the hearing and being led of the Holy Spirit. Because growth is about change. And you know the famous seven famous last words? We've always done it this way. If I said that right, but we've got to be willing to change, not the message. We have a faith that's once for all been delivered to the saints. We're not going to add books to the Bible. We're not going to elevate extra biblical revelation to the level of Scripture. The Scripture is the litmus test. The Holy Spirit watched over that, moved through men of old. And we've got to anchor ourselves in the Word. But if we're properly doing it, it's not just going to change how much information we now know. It's going to result in transformation of who we are. So there should be a growth in our intimacy with the Lord. Actually, there should be. Ephesians 4:11 gives us a clue here. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And by the way, do you know this verse comes after verses 8, 9, and 10, where it says, "And when He ascended, He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts to men." The 12 apostles, original apostles, Judas, Red X him, put Matthias in his place, then Paul and others. But those apostles, those original 12, were they called to be apostles before or after the ascension of Jesus? Huh? Before, right? But what does this, if you look at this scripture, it says, and after He ascended, He gave gifts to men. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors. You see that? Not just the 12, but after He ascended to the church as gifts, He continued doing that. Apostles. Yes, they're for today. Now, the original apostles have a place unique. I mean, they even have foundations named after them in the heavenly city to come. They have a special, unique place. They walked literally with Jesus for 3 years. That's just the way I see it. And I believe the Scripture teaches that. That apostles' doctrine is referencing that era. But the ascension gifts, He continues to give those because the body continues to need those. So we want to, God uses this to equip us. And so we need that for these areas. Quantity. We want to grow quantity. Why? Because, and we don't count people. You know, I know that, you know, a lot of schooling, and it's not that you shouldn't oversee and be aware of who's who, but I mean, it's not like you're aiming at nickels, noses, and numbers. But it is true that a shepherd knows her sheep. Jesus said, I know my sheep. So we need to know who the sheep are. So in that sense, you need administrative oversight, right? Okay, but quantity means, you know, the more of us that there are, the more that we're going to be able to accomplish corporately. If we're not growing, and sometimes we use the excuse, well, we may not be adding a lot of people to church, but we're all growing deeper. Well, we want to grow deeper. But we also want new people to be coming. I mean, I envision where when everything's moving as it should, we're always needing to be teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit because we're going to have people that haven't yet been exposed to that. We're always going to need this teaching the things that Jesus originally taught because of new people coming in. Just like in your family, when you have children, there's things they need to be taught as they're growing up in order to be the person they need to be when they're grown. That's part of discipleship. And that's part of the apostolic foundations is for this to be in place. And by the way, discipleship does start at home. We want to come alongside of parents and so that your children can be raised to be godly kids and to know the Scriptures. But it doesn't replace your responsibility. You need to teach your children how to pray. You need to be teaching your children the Bible. You need to be teaching your children generosity and giving, like I mentioned earlier. They need to be taught that now. So it's just part of who they are. Primarily responsibility of your children are you. Under God. That's God's order. He created the family before He created the church. His church is a spiritual family on earth. We are now the bride of Christ in the earth. So it's important that we, just the last couple of weeks I was meeting and ministering to a mother and a child, a three-year-old child, and I was just amazed because we had a ministry time and prayed about some things. But before we go, the mom looked at the little three-year-old and said, "Sweetheart, can you tell Pastor Eddie those five important things?" 3 years old. I have what God says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. And she went through five things. And I'm just like, that's amazing. You know what? I don't think she taught her that on the way to church that morning. Learning it at home. Let's not make the mistake of spending hundreds and thousands of dollars to get things in our kids' hand, in their possession, that's going to teach them things diametrically opposed to the Word of God. You are to shepherd your children. You are to provide spiritual oversight over their lives. And there are just some things they don't need to be exposed to when they're children. I want to move toward conclusion here. The unity, summary statement, the devil's working to divide us. Where the Holy Spirit's really working, we grow closer together. If you'll remember right before COVID, the Lord told me, and I shared it with the church numbers of times, that we needed to decree and pray and declare that we will grow stronger, closer together during this time instead of separated. Because there was so much separation and division being created through that thing. But that's always true. In a sense, the devil's always working to divide us. And the Holy Spirit's all about bringing us together in a place of one accord, unity, maturity. Being able to say, you know what, I've grown in this past year. You know, I just have this problem with my temper. But you know what? I haven't noticed that in quite a while. I've learned how to use the Word and rely on the Spirit. And now it's like the Spirit's controlling me and not my temper. Or you know what? I was able to overcome those pills that I were taking too many of. I was so reliant on them. I thought, well, I can't get by a day without them. But Jesus delivered me from that. It is the power of God to make you whole. Salvation. Not only save you from your sins, but to make you whole. To liberate you from the things that bind you. Growth and maturity and intimacy. You can be married. I mentioned Nikki and I are be married 45 years this Friday. But listen, you can be married 45 years and still have a very shallow marriage. Just because you live in the same house with someone doesn't mean you're growing in intimacy. You can sit in church week by week, but that doesn't mean you're growing in intimacy. Are you hearing me? Just like to make a good marriage work, it takes sacrifice. It takes dying to ourselves. It takes really listening instead of using a time when somebody else is talking to develop your argument. Learning to hear each other, truly listening, how to walk in love, and to be real sophisticated and gentle, how to keep your mouth shut. Yep, comes to that sometimes. But that's part of growing in intimacy. It makes room for the heart to connect when we can get delivered from wrong attitudes and behaviors that separate us. And so the Word is what helps us do that. The Spirit is what helps us do that. Being together in unity and seeing corporate anointings released over this congregation that will just... Folks, we've all seen it happen, but don't we want to see it happen every time we come together? Where like, woof, the glory comes and just across the room, shackles are just stripped off. People are healed. In worship, just singing. Through the laying on of hands. Powerful changes. I heard a testimony 2 days ago of a lady who was in one of the darkest days in her life. And while doing her daily Bible reading, a verse spoke to her and just shifted everything. It's like the heaviness was broken off, the depression was gone, the will to move forward was there, there was a vibrancy, there was life, there was joy, there was peace. This is the power of God unto salvation. This is the gospel message. This is who we are. This is what we're called to do. This is New Testament Christianity. And there's so many more things that could be added here, but that's enough for today. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. And I know this is a more, I've tried to make personal applications for you through this message, but this is, I really believe, a message for us all in union as a fellowship of believers here at Grace House. And I'm going to ask Bishop Jeffrey Mathenja, who we're honored to have with us today. Pastor Dot, would you bring him, lead him up here, please? And Mickey, if you'd give them the microphone. It's over there on the chair, Pastor Dot, when you come by. He gave gifts to men. This man is a bishop, or we would call an apostle. A lot of times now the term bishop is also used. And I don't want to embarrass him in any way, but I mean, he's currently overseeing like 700 churches in Kenya. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's like, how can you do that? Come on up, brother. And Pastor Doc, come stand with him. Yeah. I know some of you know Bishop Jeffrey quite well. You've been to Kenya with him. And I've been a couple of times, but I've never connected with you there yet. But Bishop, as pastor of this house, it would mean a whole lot to me, and I believe to us, knowing the mantle God has put on you apostolically. If you would pray over us, and I'm going to ask you to stand. And I want to ask our elders and all of our staff and leadership to come right up front to start with. Just come stand here. Because as a leadership at Grace House, we want to open our heart, just like where Paul wrote, you know, I'm looking forward to get to Rome where you are, that I might impart some spiritual gift to you. You see, I believe the Scripture says that in honoring this apostle, there is a mantle and anointing on his life from which we can receive an impartation. And this is someone who walks in it, has 700 churches looking to him for leadership. Now that doesn't mean he makes every decision that needs to be made. It's not that kind of thing. But he would have the wisdom and counsel and oversight of the Spirit of God working in his life to help shepherd those shepherds. And we want to receive from that this morning. So if y'all would just bundle up right here in front, just huddle. And any of the rest of our congregation now, that if you want to come and join, you're just invited to come up here and just come with an open heart. This is more of a corporate invitation time where we are saying as a fellow, I believe this is ordained of the Lord. I had no idea he was going to be here on this Sunday. You know, we found out a few weeks ago, but I've had this message in works for a while for this Sunday to start this year. To be thrust forward into the apostolic and to be forerunning in our region and to the nations and so forth. And Pastor Doc, our granddaddy pastor, would you come here as well? And if there's anything you want to share about Bishop before he prays. And I'm going to go down and join the rest of our leaders at the front.
I got to meet this guy, and 1985. I was there in Kenya and met him, and then I think the next year we were back there, and so the relationship developed, and it wasn't long until he starts calling me Dad and calls June Mama. And so the color of our skin didn't matter, that God had connected hearts. And so for all these years that we have walked together and been there many times in their home and in this ministry, he's a very humble man. You will not get him to say something bad about you. It just won't come out of his mouth. He's that kind of man. He is truly a bishop and an apostolic with an apostolic anointing in Kenya. And he's my son. And I honor that. And he's part of the Meru tribe in East Africa. And one year, when we were there, he pastors a church called Calvary, great church. Seats 1,500, 2,000 folks. Then the 700 churches. And he said, we feel like we need to anoint you as elder in the Meru tribe. Well, I've never been anointed as an elder in the Meru tribe. But we went through the whole deal. The whole service. I mean, it was a service. And then when it was all over, he gets up and speaks to the congregation. And this shows you what kind of man he is. He said, from today on, Pastor Doc is an elder in the Meru tribe. Whatever he says for us to do, we do it without question. You say, did that give pride? I wept. But you see, that's the kind of man he is. And so we're honored here at Grace House to have a man that I've known now for all these years, and he's the real deal. I love him dearly. And I know he's got something he wants to pray and say. So, love you, brother.
Our Father and our God, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you for the message that has been brought to us. The Lord, in you, we know we can grow and be that which you have called us to be and walk in your purpose and reach our destiny to the glory of Jesus. I want to thank you for this church, Lord. The beginning of this year, 2023, where, Lord, you have reminded us that we need to go, we need to grow, and we need to sow the seed of your word. And Lord, we thank you by the Holy Spirit that you are going to enable us, Lord, even as we live according to your purpose, that we can live to do this. And I want to thank you for this church, the pastor and the leadership, the believers in this congregation, O Lord, that Lord God, even as they are walking in this apostolic calling, that Father, you're going to fulfill that which you have called them to do. Lord, even as the pastors expounded from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even unto the uttermost parts of the earth, we thank you that your purpose will be fulfilled, Lord. You remove every barrier on the way, Lord. Every obstacle on the way, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that they will live to your purpose, Lord, and they will live to see this fulfilled in their time. Because, Lord, even as David did, thy will, Lord, in his generation, he rested. And we thank you that, Father, they can be able to fulfill that which you have called them to do as Grace House to the glory of Jesus. Bless them, O Lord. May your blessing and your anointing, the Holy Spirit, walk with them in every one of their lives. We give you honor and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
While you're in the altar area here and others, if you have need of prayer, I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. But let's just say this together. You could say, Dear Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we receive the impartation from Bishop Jeffrey, which is by your Spirit. Help us to fulfill your mandate on our lives, individually and as a church family. May we be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're here without Christ this morning, we would love to talk with you about that, pray with you about that. If God is dealing with you and you'd like prayer, feel free to come on up. Also, you have those connect cards. You can let us know who you are. If you have a prayer need, if you want to be baptized, you can fill one of those cards out, and one of our pastors will get in touch with you. But thank you for being here today. This week, I just encourage you to ask the Lord to grace you of how you can increase in these three areas: in going, being a part of what God's doing beyond our church services, and sowing, how you can be more generous in various areas of your life, and how you can sow through your gifts, your talents, your treasures, and also your personal growth, your personal prayer time, your daily Bible reading. I know God will grace you to do what He's created you to do. And I also know you can't do it without Him. So lean on Jesus. He's faithful. Amen. Can we give the Lord a big shout before we leave? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. This altar remains open for any kind of ministry you may need.